In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is transfigured.
On the Mount Tabor.
Amen. So we just celebrated the feast of Christ's transfiguration this past Friday. And in looking at the whole event of the transfiguration and the gospel accounts, it's really quite amazing how many connections there are with the gospel from today. All three of the gospels mention the account of the transfiguration. And in Luke's version, which we read at Matins on Friday, it says that Christ took the disciples Peter, James, and John up to the mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And Moses and Elijah then appeared, and a bright cloud of light covered the mountain, and they heard the voice of the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." Well, now in today's Gospel, it takes place right after Christ fed the 5,000 people, with the two fishes and the five loaves. And so immediately after that great miracle, he sent the disciples to cross the Sea of Galilee in a boat, and then he sent the multitudes away. And then it says in today's gospel, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. So once again, the idea of going up to the mountain to pray. As St. Theophylact points out, he went up on the mountain to show that we should pray in an undistracted manner. Everything Christ did was for our sake, as he himself had no need of prayer. He prayed on into the evening, teaching us not to cease praying after a short time, and also to pray especially at night, for it is very quiet then. So in both cases, Christ went up a mountain to pray, and the Holy Fathers see this process of ascending up a mountain as an image of the effort to rise to a higher place that is above this world's confusion. And this is also an image of ascetic effort. Just as it takes effort to climb a mountain physically, so it takes effort to practice prayer, fasting, and almsgiving in order to draw closer to Christ. In the Kentakion, one of the hymns for the Transfiguration, it says, "On the mountain was thou transfigured, and thy disciples beheld thy glory as far as they could bear it, O Christ God. That when they saw thee crucified, they might know that thy suffering was voluntary, and might proclaim unto the world that thou art truly the brightness of the Father." So in other words, the Lord knew that the disciples were still weak in their faith and in their spiritual life. And so by revealing his glory to them to the extent that they were able to bear it, the Lord strengthened their faith in anticipation of the future trials that they would endure when he would be crucified. Now again, in today's gospel, the Lord permits the disciples to endure great tribulations during the storm, and then he reveals his divinity, in this case by demonstrating his divine power over creation, walking upon the water and calming the storm by his command. And so this experience also strengthened their faith, which they were going to need, you know, to draw upon in the future when they faced other trials and tribulations. Peter also provides another image of the struggle for greater faith. He wasn't quite sure if this was really the Lord. I mean, they're out in the middle of this big storm, it's at night, it's dark, and all of a sudden they see what they think is a ghost coming at them, and they don't know what's going to happen. Maybe the ghost is going to sink their boat or something, or, you know, and so they're pretty scared, and they cried out. But Peter, instead of just being scared, he sort of tests the situation. He says, "Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you on the water," which is quite an amazing statement, actually. And Christ said, "Come." And the Holy Fathers also say this is an image of how we shouldn't really do things just of our own will. You know, had Peter just thought, "Oh, I'm getting out of this boat and walking over there. You know, I want to see if this is really the Lord," he just would have sunk, you know. But because he asked, in a sense, he asked Christ's blessing to come. So it wasn't so much that he was trying to, "Hey, watch this, guys. I'm gonna walk on the water." He's saying, "Lord, let me come to you if it's you." And, you know, the walking on the water was kind of secondary at that point. So anyway, the Holy Fathers tell us that as long as Peter kept his attention on Christ, then his faith upheld him and he was able to walk on the water. But as soon as he became distracted and took his attention away from Christ, then he became fearful and doubtful and began to sink. But at this moment, he did the right thing because he turned to Christ saying, "Save me." And then Christ reached out his hand and caught him, and then admonished him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the boat, the wind ceased, and the disciples worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." So once again, they recognize him in his divinity in this miracle, just as they recognized him at the Transfiguration. And so again, the Holy Fathers have pointed out how tribulations, you know, troubles and trials and things, actually help to strengthen our faith. And while most of us, I don't know about you, but I don't really like to experience difficulties in my life. You probably do, I'm sure, but you know, most of us, sometimes we don't like that too much. But oftentimes it's during those struggles that we make the greatest spiritual progress. Righteous Job is a great example of that. Of course, you know, God permitted him to have all these troubles, despite the fact that he was a very righteous person. But he had a purpose in mind for that. And so through these troubles and everything, Job's great patience and faith, you know, are revealed. And of course, Satan is defeated and, you know, everything turns out all right. There was an account of the superior of a monastery whose name was Archimandrite Arcadius, and he was in the Kirillo Novoyezersk Monastery in Russia. He died in 1847, and he once related the following account about himself. He said, "Once I was in trouble over something or other, and feeling depressed about it, I went to matins, and while standing in church was thinking about my trouble. I did not know what happened to me. I involuntarily closed my eyes, and then I experienced a kind of oblivion, but I was not asleep, because I heard distinctly every word of what was being read at the time. Suddenly, I saw before me the saint of our monastery, St. Kirill, and he said to me, 'Why are you desponding? Surely you know that the monks of the last times must be saved by afflictions.'" I'm going to read that again. "Surely you know that the monks of the last times must be saved by afflictions." So, in other words, in ancient times, we read about the lives of St. Anthony the Great and many of these great miracle-working saints, and they fasted for 40 days and, you know, lived out in the desert, and they raised the dead and, you know, all they worked these amazing wonders. But in our times, we're up against great challenges that actually I don't think even some of the early saints were quite up against as much, because we live in kind of a post-Christian time now where, you know, many people are not very pious, not very faithful. And so when we try to live our Christian life, it's pretty challenging. And so what these fathers and many other fathers have said is that through our difficulties and struggles and challenges, just by trying to deal with those, just getting to church on time, just, you know, trying to keep the fast and just, you know, say no to the ice cream or the burger on the Wednesday or Friday or whatever it is, or just those simple little things, that actually those are quite great accomplishments in our times. So we shouldn't underestimate the power of those things. So brothers and sisters, let's consider this. God loves us more than we can know. He is all-powerful and he's all-wise. He can do anything he wants and he knows everything that goes on. Even a sparrow does not fall out of a tree unless God knows about it. And that means that he is perfectly capable of preventing us from having any struggles if he chooses to. And yet in his love for us, just like with his righteous Job, he does permit struggles which are for our benefit. And so when troubles come then, it's by God's permission. And when we find ourselves afflicted and we're struggling with these things, let's not despair, but let's cry to Christ in prayer, "Lord, save me," as Peter did, putting all our hope in Christ, and then he will come to our aid at just the right time and in just the right way. Christ is transfigured.